Welcome to another episode of the Self Thinkers Podcast. This is episode number 8. We're back at it again. As you may notice, if you're watching the footage, Carlos is not here. Or maybe that is Carlos and he's had a sex change and he's now white. No, he's not. Carlos couldn't be here today, but he's here in spirit, like he said. He's not dead, but he's here in spirit. Shout out to my boy Carlos. He will be here next week. He will be missed today. So we'll try and do our best in his
absence.
That's what I wanted to say. First and foremost, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Join me in welcoming Carol. thank you for accepting our invitation and being our first guest. We should put a clap. Clap with me, please. Thank you. being our first guest to the Self Thinkers Podcast. Welcome. Thank you for coming. I wanted to start by giving you yourself a bit of an introduction.
Okay.
and talk a little bit about the topic of today, which is financial literacy and investing and achieving financial freedom, and how this topic speaks to you and why you are our guest today, because that's why you were chosen.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's very nice to be here. And basically, when it comes to the topic itself, it started speaking to me more when I joined university, UEA, and I started doing economics for my degree, and then economics and finance for my master's. Like you probably know, I'm a bit of a control freak. It's important for me to feel in control of different aspects of my life if I can. Mm-hmm. So financial independence is very important for me.
Should be for us all.
Yes, yeah. It should. So I started saving pretty much as soon as I graduated and started working. And I started researching more about different ways of saving and investments, everything. And that's how it started becoming so interesting for me, because I started realizing there's so many ways of saving and investing your money. Basically it.
How did university help you with that? Like, how did they plant the seed in sort of a way, or did you actually learn something in university? Because there's this conception that traditional education does not teach you how to be financially free, which is something that I said as well in a previous episode. So how did university and studying their course help you with that?
I completely agree with that statement. It doesn't help you become financially free, but it did give me an idea of what to research about. I mean, it wasn't really about showing you how to invest or saving, at least the modules that I've done.
Yeah.
But they gave you an overview of different markets. But it was more towards businesses rather than individual investment. But it did give me an idea of what to look for, and actually made it more interesting for me to actually start researching about it. So yeah, it was at uni that I started having that interest.
Okay. So you did mention about saving, which is something that's really important, especially for young people starting as a young at a young age. In your opinion, how important is saving, and why should we save?
It's so important, because I mean, you have to think about your future. Obviously, I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy now and spend some money. Obviously you should, but it's all about balance. You should save as well, because you don't know what's going to happen. And then if you don't have anything saved, how are you going to support yourself? Are you going to be depending on other people? How is it going to work? And also, like, prices are going up so much every year because of inflation, which I'm sure we're going to cover soon.
We will. That's why there's that saying, saving for a rainy day.
Exactly.
And the best example of that is the pandemic, because a lot of people have been made redundant.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the people that had savings, they were thankful that they had their money aside to support them.
And that is another reason for why you should save, because you shouldn't depend just on your job. So imagine if you lose your job tomorrow, then you'd probably freak out a little bit if you don't have anything saved. Whereas if you save, then you're making that money work for you in a way. Mm-hmm. And so if you lose your job, it's not the end of the world because you have money aside that you can, mm-hmm. they can support you and help you.
Really interesting you said that money work for you because mm-hmm. we all work for money, but yeah. not many of us make money work for us. And exactly. money should work for us.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just sit on your bank account because mm-hmm. of inflation, as you said before. So for our listeners, can you explain what inflation is?
Okay, so basically inflation, it's related to the price of goods and services. So inflation goes up. So basically prices of goods and products goes up every year by 2-3%. Mm-hmm. And that's inflation. Mm-hmm. So the money that you receive now or that you're saving now, it doesn't allow you to buy the same amount of products in a year or 2 years' time mm-hmm. because its value is less now.
Yeah. Basically, the amount of money you have put aside. So if you have, let's say, 5,000 on your bank account, mm-hmm. that 5,000 is not going to hold the same amount of value in a year's time because you won't be able to buy as many goods with 5,000.
Exactly. So for instance, £5,000 today might actually be only worth 4,500 in 2 years' time, even mm-hmm. though they are still 5,000.
Yeah.
You cannot do the same.
Yeah, because the goods are way more expensive now.
Exactly.
And a great example of that is when I was younger, my mom would give me, let's say, I would live in Portugal, so I'll talk in euros, 5 euros. I'd go to Mini Preço. For all my people there from Portugal, if you know Mini Preço, it's like Tesco in Portugal.
Yeah, basically.
I'd go Mini Preço and I'd probably come back with like 4 bags of groceries. Nowadays with £5, I get a meal deal and probably some other sweets or something. But yeah, you don't get as much now. That's why when you talk to older people, they always mention, with £20, I used to get this and that. Mm. And now you go out for a meal, it's like £28. I don't know.
It's so expensive.
Yeah, that's basically inflation. It's mm-hmm. basically inflation. So as most people know, especially young people, we do not have the patience to research. So we don't know about inflation and we don't know how to make money work for us. Mm-hmm. So we are lazy and we just put the money aside on a normal savings account that grows on an average of 0.00003% per year. So if you put 1,000 there, you'll have 1,003 pence. By the end of the year, which is great. So basically you're losing money because inflation grows on a higher percentage.
Yeah.
So how do we surpass inflation or how do we make sure that money works for us the proper way?
By basically creating different streams of income. So obviously you receive a certain amount of income every month from your job. And then you should be saving at least 20% of that income. But instead of putting those 20% of your income, let's say, into one account, you should be spreading it out. Yeah. By accounts, I mean, I'm not saying I have 100 million different accounts in the bank. But by accounts, I mean even investments, mm-hmm. investment accounts. Mm-hmm. So by differentiating and spreading out the amount that you have, you're starting to make money kind of work for you because mm-hmm. different accounts have different interest rates. Mm-hmm. And so, so you might not be making a lot of money on that account that you have that has 0.0001% of mm-hmm. interest, mm-hmm. but you're making more money on the other ones and kind of brings it together because it is important for you to have that account as an emergency account, that savings
more
account.
Secure.
Yeah. And you don't know, a lot of investments, you're not going to touch that money or you can't even take the money out. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to have an account where if anything happens, you have that money there and you can go and take it out as soon as you have that issue.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, I've read somewhere and I stick by it, that you should have at least 3 times your income, your monthly income on an emergency account.
Yeah, you can leave over. I've heard 6 months.
6 months, okay. Yeah, yeah. So So at least 3 months. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
6 months is even better.
6 months is even better. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 months, because if you're in a low income paid job, 3 months is not even that much. So if you have a bigger emergency, 6 months is probably going to get you more covered.
Every adult knows that shit goes wrong. When you're young and you want to become an adult, it's so great. Or and then when all these bills start coming, stuff goes wrong. So that's how you always need to have a savings account and some money aside. And like you said, diversify where you put your money.
Yes.
Which is something that we're going to dive deep into. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of people think that, investing is a three-headed monster. So it's really risky and you're going to lose all your money and you shouldn't invest, which is, it can be correct if you're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it's really wrong if you do your own research and you really look into it. Everyone should be investing smartly, of course. So how is it a good way that we can diversify and make sure that we don't lose all our money? If it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I feel like a lot of people are scared of investing because of media.
Mm-hmm.
Let's thank media for that.
Yeah.
I think, let's say, for instance, if you start investing on crypto, like, it's all about diversifying. So don't invest everything in just one crypto or in just crypto in general as well. Like, you should invest in different areas. So you should invest in stocks, crypto, bonds as well, mutual funds, etc. So it's all
we'll
about
go
that.
Into that. We'll go into everything she said. We'll go into
so it's
that.
All about like diversifying the type of investments and obviously doing the research like you mentioned. Research is very important, to be honest.
Diversification is really important.
Yeah.
Because if you have all your eggs in one basket and something goes wrong, you lose all your money.
Exactly.
So that's why I read this book that you should have, we should have three baskets, but let's start with two baskets. You should have two baskets. You should have a risk basket and a security basket.
Mm.
So on the security basket is more of the safe investments that you're not going to, the likelihood of you losing money is really.
Bonds.
Like bonds.
Gold.
Yep. And then there is the risk one, which has stocks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even within stocks, there's a few safe investments like blue chip stocks like Amazon and Apple that have proved to win and win again and again and again and again. And again.
Yeah.
Although past performance does not guarantee future performance, but, you know, or future
they're
results.
They're more secure.
Yeah, anyway. But they're more secure. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to diversify and make sure that whatever you're investing in, you're going to have something safe there and you're going to have that risk basket. Although you make a lot more money from the risk basket.
Yeah.
It's the safe one doesn't have that much return, but it's safer.
Mm.
It's safer because if you invest in Apple stock, you won't make as much money, but it will be there every year.
Yeah.
I think Apple pay dividends.
They do.
Whereas if you invest something more risky, you're probably going to make more money long, short term. But then what happens if the bubble bursts and
it goes down?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can lose all your money
there. Exactly. Exactly. So let's look into, you talked about cryptocurrency.
It's a
hot topic of the moment. Shout out to everyone that's invested in cryptocurrency and, I'm with you guys. I'm probably 60% down now.
It's not.
So the market is
right
down.
At the moment.
But don't forget something. You do not lose money until you sell. So I have not. I've technically not lost a dime yet because I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to sell.
And why? Because you're thinking long term.
Long term. That's
the
main.
Key.
That's very key. And that's what I wanted to ask. A lot of people have a misconception about investing and day trading.
Yeah.
They think it's the same thing.
Mm.
Explain to us.
Well, I think that's because a lot of people they don't think about themselves in 10 years time. They think about getting rich quick or being rich by tomorrow and having that Ferrari and that Rolls Royce.
Get rich quick.
Yeah.
Get yourself a Rolls Royce by next month.
Yeah. And that's the issue. Day trading is more like, I don't want to say gambling because I know there's people that understand it and make money out of it, but it is a lot riskier than
You can lose it all.
Yeah, you can lose it all.
You can make hundreds of thousands and lose hundreds of thousands within the same day.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying a lot of people that don't understand day trading, they just put all the money on the line. Whereas even with day training, day trading, there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of like ways of reducing your risk. But a lot of people don't do that, which then again, that results in a lot of losses.
Yep. Investing is the opposite. It's just
investing is the opposite. You need to think long term or midterm. Yeah. Long term, by long term, I mean at least 10 years, 10 to 15 years minimum. Mm-hmm. And that normally is what gives you the most return because it's over 10 years you're investing. Like if you're putting a certain amount of money every month or every year on that account, it starts accumulating and it is
compound interest.
Exactly, compound interesting. And that is the best way in my opinion.
Yeah, there's so many different types of investments out there. You did say before we go into the different types of investment, you did say about a percentage of saving per month, and you said 20%.
Yeah,
she's correct. I read that on the book. 20% is the minimum you should be saving. 15 if you want to start, but then 20% is the minimum you should be saving every month.
There's this rule of like 50, 30, 20. So 50% of your income to spend on like necessities, rent, etc. 30 on like, I don't know, like for instance, if you want to go for dinners and party, whatever, traveling, and then 20 for saving.
That's in that book as well. It's probably him that said. Tony Robbins.
That's good.
Shout out Tony Robbins.
Yeah. So, 20% is definitely, I would say, I mean, if you cannot save 20% because you have a lot of expenses, then whatever.
Start somewhere.
That's what's important. But if you can save at least 20%, then definitely do so. I would say more if you can. But
yeah, the more you can. Some people are 30%, 40%, 50%.
Exactly.
It really depends on what your status is. And you should always, but if you have I saw it in a book. So someone was doing 20%, but at the same time she had a pay raise, whatever raise she got, she would always put it in the savings. So she would always have the same amount of money to live for within on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
So her savings account was booming. So it was tanking.
That is also important. And again, you can actually link that to coronavirus because a lot of people had to start working from home. So they stopped spending on public transports and et cetera. And a lot of those people, instead of saving that amount, actually
spent it elsewhere instead,
which... to me, it's kind of annoying because you are not going to spend that money elsewhere if you were going to the office.
Exactly.
So why don't you just take advantage of that and save?
But we as human beings, we're just like that. It's just the more money we make, the more money we spend. What's the point in making $1 million if you have $1 million in expenses? So you're living check to check.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So I think... to save, you need to first look at what you're spending your money on.
Mm-hmm.
There's always an opportunity to save there. You're going to have to make sacrifices sometimes.
And set a realistic goal.
And a realistic goal
for
as well.
Each year. That's what I do because like that, it makes it so much easier for you to actually save. Because if you don't have any goal of how much to save every year, you're not entirely like sure or like you don't know exactly how much you need to save every month to get there. So I think setting a goal is so important.
Yeah, it's really important to set a goal for everything. We've had in previous episodes I did speak to Carlos. Shout out Carlos again, man. I miss you. I did speak to Carlos about setting a goal and put it in writing to everything that you want to achieve in life. If you want to achieve your dreams and start a business, whatever, you always have to put it in writing and you have to set a goal. So with investing, that's the same as well. But as you said, saving is not enough. We have to make the money work for us instead of just working for the money. So as the topic is investing your money, where should we start? Especially, you know, when we're amateurs, we don't know where to research. We don't know what to do. We don't know which stock to put our money in because we do not want to follow social media hype and just put your money into social media hype. You need to research and you need to actually go into. So where should we start? Where should we start? That's my question.
I mean, it is an important question, and it's actually a scary topic for many, because you never know where to start. There's so much information and it becomes overwhelming. And, you know, finance is all about numbers everywhere. And people get scared of numbers pretty quickly.
True, yeah.
So let's just put it simply. So, you know how in maths you learn that 1 + 1 = 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, you know that if you invest in something, that 2 can actually become a 5, a 10.
That's really deep. I'm going to be reflecting on that tonight. That is facts and really deep.
That is really true, though. So I feel like investing is so important because of that. Like we mentioned, it's just in a way to make money work for you instead. So I think in terms of starting, because, you know, like if you invest on a single stock or anything really, or a crypto, you need to do a lot of research to know which ones you should invest on. So I think a good way of starting is actually looking at index funds, because, for instance, let's look at the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100.
What's an index fund?
An index fund. Okay, so basically...
Take it by steps.
So it's kind of like a portfolio that you're just investing on the stock market on a specific country. So for instance, the S&P 500 in the US or the FTSE 100 in the UK. So you would basically be investing on that stock market. So you'd have a small share on every company that is part of that market. Mm-hmm. So for instance, McDonald's is part of S&P 500. So you'd have a little, you'd have a little share on it. So, and also another thing is it's not all the companies. So for instance, S&P 500 is the top 500 companies. So you have index funds that invest on the top 500 companies, or you have index funds that actually invest on all the companies of that market. So like that, you're reducing your risk because you're investing on so many companies. So you're diversifying, like mm-hmm. we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So your risk goes down, and most of the times it actually it grows around 7%.
Mm-hmm. Compounding.
Yeah, compounding. So
way higher than savings account.
Yeah, way higher than the 0.000.
Yeah,
1%. So yeah, so like that, it's compounding. So the more you start, the more you invest, the more you're making, and then it's making more money
mm-hmm.
as you go along. So yeah, I would probably start there, mm-hmm. really. And then when you start with that, then you can slowly start researching on individual stocks and other little bits and pieces like crypto that you can invest onto. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but like that, if you didn't invest on an index fund and you started doing your research, maybe you wouldn't invest in the next 2-3 months. Whereas if you invest straight away on an index fund, you already are earning money while researching about individual stocks mm-hmm. and funds. So you're technically not losing time.
You own a piece of all of them.
Exactly. So yeah, that's where I would start, really.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. It's like a basket of stocks. If you don't know where to start, just there's a basket of the 500 more successful companies.
Mm-hmm.
You put about a lump sum of money in there, and it compounds at a percentage of 7%. Percentage mm-hmm. 7%. The 7% compound interest every single year. When it is what a lot of people don't know is that the market on the long term basis always wins.
Yeah,
it might lose sometimes really bad, but he always wins.
Yeah,
on a 20 15 10 years whatever stretch, he always wins. But what I wanted to cover as well, you did mention beforehand earlier in the interview about bonds.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people might not know what bonds are. I didn't know what bonds were before I read that book.
Mm-hmm.
About being a more secure type of investment. So I want you to go expand a little bit about what exactly are bonds, why should people invest in it, and what do you gain from it? What is bonds, essentially?
So basically, when you invest on a bond, you're basically buying a share of debt in a company or a government, pretty much anything. And it is much safer because the market is not as volatile as the stock market. Because the stock market is so volatile, the reward is much higher, but mm-hmm. the risk is higher as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas in bonds, because it's not as volatile, the risk is lower, but your reward is also lower as well. Mm-hmm. And so it is safer because of that. Also, you have priority when it comes to being paid. So for instance, imagine you invested on a bond in a certain company that went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. The company would pay you first before paying the...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, paying the equity holders. Mm-hmm. So people there hold stocks
and shares.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And shares. So you would be paid first and then whatever is left would go for them.
That makes it way safer than
the
option like stocks and shares and everything.
Yeah. But then you can, it's normally more of like a long-term investment because once you invest on a bond, you cannot just go there after like 2 or 3 months to take the money out.
Yeah.
It's over a long, it can be a long period of time.
There's like 20 to 25 years bond.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's a long period of time that you cannot touch that money. So you have to think carefully how much money you put in there because you need to make sure that you don't need that money.
Of course.
As soon.
And there's so many type of bonds out there and they always have a set, I believe they have a set APR on them.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's variable ones. But I think they're all set APR. At the moment, it's not the best time to invest in bonds because it's lower than the inflation rate, meaning that you'd be losing money on a yearly basis. So government bonds at the moment.
Yeah, but then again, if you have like if you're investing in a very risky portfolio, then although you are losing money on a bond, you would still make it safer. So it depends on the type of investments you're making, but. Yeah, I do agree with you. It's not really worth it at the moment.
Interesting you said risky portfolio. What would we consider a risky portfolio? We were talking before the cameras were on about a balanced portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we said about diversifying your portfolio. So there's so many other types of investments. So there's stocks.
Yeah.
We've talked about bonds now. We've talked about commodities like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So how would we balance all these type of investments? Is it 50 here, 50 there? Or do we look into other things as well?
I feel like it's, I think it's all about, I mean, I wouldn't do 50-50 because equity is much more riskier than bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So you should invest more, like a bigger proportion on bonds compared to equity to balance out the risk.
They say stocks is 3 times riskier.
Yeah. So technically if people follow that percentage, then they should definitely invest 3% more.
So they always should balance it.
3 times more, I mean.
Yeah.
3%.
They should always balance it in accordance with risk.
Yeah.
And not just a normal percentage. Something that I've, so let's say 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you put 60% in bonds, let's say 60% in long-term bonds,
mm-hmm.
40% in short-term bonds, 30% in stocks, and then 7.5 in gold and 7.5 in commodities or cryptocurrency, which are volatile. So because the more volatile and the riskier they are, you should have a smaller place within your portfolio because you don't want to have all that type of emotion in your life.
No.
But keeping that type of balance on your portfolio is either make it or break it. Diversification at the end of the day.
Yeah. And even if you just invest on stocks, imagine you don't want to invest on crypto or anything else. Definitely invest on different types of industries. So that's why that's important. Just don't invest everything on the same industry or not even just the same company, but on the same industry. So for instance, if you're into, I don't know, technology, don't invest all your money just on technology.
Exactly.
Like spread it out.
Because the whole market can go down.
Yeah, exactly. And although, technology or even clean energies at the moment, it's probably one of the best investments for like the future. But like, don't don't just put all your money there in just those two industries.
Let's put it into perspective. If you start, let's say you start with a lump sum of 10,000, mm-hmm. and it's compounding at a 7% 7% every year for a few years, mm-hmm. but then the market crashes, it goes 50% down, and you lose most of your money, and you're now at a loss. To make it back to where you started, it will take years and years and years and years, like 8-9 years. But on the long term, it will still win. So imagine you have all your money on an index fund, on the S&P 500, and it goes down 40% for about the next 4 years, not 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, like in 2008 when everything went to almost zero, the stock prices. You would take almost 10 years for you to make the money back. So not even to make a profit, to go back to where you started.
Exactly.
So not having all your money in one basket is really smart. You shouldn't do that. That's why you should have a security and risk basket.
Exactly.
And not put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
As we discussed, the index funds, RETs, we don't want to give people too much information so they start, you know, overflowing. But there's other one, which is the real estate investment trust.
Yeah.
Which we've discussed briefly beforehand. A lot of people know about the properties and real estate and how it appreciates, but some people do not have the down payment of £20,000 to buy a house or anything.
Yeah.
And they think, well, I don't know. I don't own real estate. But there's REITs and people don't know what they are. Could you just explain what it is? Just a quick explanation.
So REITs is basically, it's kind of like a ETF, but you're just investing in real estate. So instead of spending all your money buying a property, or if you don't want to do all that research at the moment, you can just invest on a REIT. And like that, you have like shares
within
the real estate.
It's like an index fund. If you invest in Vanguard, which invests within the whole S&P 500, and you have a share of the S&P 500, if you invest in a company that, you know, are doing the real estate investment trust, you're basically owning real estate without having to manage it and everything. So that's a gem that we just told y'all. If you didn't know, I've learned that in the book as well. I didn't know that for a while. There's so many things that we're not aware of.
So many
things that are not risky and quite secure, and you know, it makes you be ahead of the game, but it's not taught in school, and it's, the media doesn't show it. There's not many people. Just on social media, all we see is someone get rich with a get rich scheme. $99.99 to get a Rolls Royce like me. I'll make your dreams come through within 3 months.
Yeah, which, I mean, it never works. Don't do that.
It doesn't. And just to finish it up, because we want to put this on two parts, because there's so many things that we want to share with you guys. But I wanted to talk about appreciation and depreciation. The common person does not really know what depreciation and appreciation mean. If I were to talk to most people are not aware of what depreciation is, because they buy, let's say you buy a car and you tell them by the time you drive their car 100 miles, it will lose probably 30 or 40% of its value. They were like, well, but I just bought it like a week ago, man. But how important it is to put your money on appreciating goods instead of depreciating goods?
Well, it's very important, because it's a way of making money out of it. Like, for instance, like you said, you gave the example of a car, but it can be anything. If you buy an asset, if you have a company and you buy, I don't know, a machine for factoring, like for the factory, that machine depreciates every year. So you're actually, the value of the machine is going down. So it's always better for you to invest on appreciating items. For instance, let's say a house.
Real estate.
Because real estate.
Over time.
Because the value of it will increase so much. And particularly, yeah, real estate is a great example because it appreciates by a fair amount every year. I don't know specifically the amount, but it does.
But it does.
It does.
That's why they say real estate is always a great investment. If you do it smartly, obviously, there's always good and bad everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's not every investment in real estate is good. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah. So if you can put your money somewhere that it's going to return you more money rather than less, then... Yeah. You know,
that's why you should always invest in depreciating assets. Mm-hmm. It's not really smart. Like, there's loads of depreciating assets that's good for entertainment and
even
everything.
Even clothes, depreciating.
It's depreciating, but we need it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a necessity until a certain point.
And so, yeah.
Some people end up buying more clothes than they need. I mean, I'm guilty for that as well. I think all of us are.
I'm not.
Sure.
I don't buy that much clothes. I don't buy that much clothes. But yeah, we're guilty of that. You know, depreciation and by putting our money into depreciating what they call liabilities and assets over liabilities. Some people, it's a fine line in between the two of those. Part one is getting to an ending. I want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
But you're not going anywhere because we're about to go for part two. But we want to make sure we give you guys two parts of this so we can go deep into some things that we want to discuss on the next episode as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for watching episode number 8, almost number 10.
Oh my God.
We're getting
there.
It's going quickly. Thank you for watching. Subscribe, comment. If you're listening, not just watching, if you're listening on the platforms that we have, we're basically everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Anchor, whatever. Our social media, like, share, comment, and do you want to say anything?
Not sure.
Do you
You're
shout
putting
out
me
someone?
On the spot at
do you
the moment.
Shout out someone. Hey, shout out my boy.
No.
But yeah, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Peace. We see you guys next week.